I think these giants have a resistance to orc.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of D&D Valiant Odyssey. All right, so gentlemen, you are in the middle of a ravine where you are currently watching your friend Gorgonbort be travelled off to the northwest on the shoulder of a daddy giant. But before we start, you need to roll to see who goes first. We're going to reintroduce your characters, name, race, class.
I'm Trent. I'm playing Baron Barnabas, who is a Goliath fighter, level 9. He's the smartest guy in the room, except when he rolls these ones, he gets a 1. For a pet, he had a dog. It was named Molly. it was Mountain Shepherd. So, you know, like the cold. Where is it now, though? It's on the farm with Molly's mum and dad. So I haven't seen it in a while, but that's where they told me it went.
Oh, yeah. Gone to the farm, hey?
Yeah.
All sure. Right.
We'll go visit it when we're in the region.
Rob, you're on.
Rightio. Hey, I'm Grog. oh, dear. And I play Ranga the Moonlit, High Elf Ranger Rogue. Level 9. Rengar hasn't really had any pets, but he has a bit of an inkling towards dragons, as displayed with some of his language. So he studied that pretty heavily. And he's well known to quite a few furry and scaly creatures, given his ranger background. But no real pet.
Doesn't give his heart to anyone, does he, Rengar?
Nah, he's closed off, man.
Morvan.
My name is Brett. I play Morvan, the indecisive Othranus, level 9 evocation high elf wizard. His pet you have all seen, and I hope you love him as much as I do, is Owly. He has passed back into the ether a few times, but thankfully a wizard can just bring him back.
The pet that never dies. I thought for sure you were going to say bookworm.
No. Bookworms, I fireball them with a vengeance. If they dare destroy my magic tomb, I will end you.
Jacko.
I'm Jacko. I play Gorgonbort the Buckler, Barbarian Half Orc. And before I went wayward at the age of 13 from my tribe, which I don't remember, I had a pygmy elephant is what I had. It was it's a smaller elephant as I was a smaller orc. And again, even from a young age, I wanted to be the biggest. So I didn't get a normal elephant. I had a pygmy one. And its name was Shorby.
I can just see the both of you flailing your trunks around in the desert.
Yes, your trunk.
And how did it what?
And what happened to it?
Oh, what happened to it? I let it go off into, I let it try and join another elephant tribe. I thought if you love it, you let it go. I didn't give it back to a pygmy elephant tribe. I gave it to a normal elephant tribe and it got squashed.
It got me fussed. Oh, man. Okay. And on that, I am Aaron. I'm your dungeon master. And I had a pet guinea pig. It was my first ever pet that I'd ever had. It was my way that my mum tested me to see if I could have pets. And I was so excited to have it that I played with it so much, throwing it up in the air and such, it had a heart attack and died. After 3 days. Rest in peace, Monica.
I'll be there for you.
That's a true story. That is a true story. All right. So with all our pet stories done and dusted, so you might actually say Monica's at the farm with Molly, Barnabas' dog. We'll visit her one day. Okay. So you guys had made your way through a treacherous ravine on your way to see Karen, the master craftsman's student. You were interrupted by three giants who had seemed to have something to do with the missing Goliath herd that Baron Barnabas had previously seen. A battle ensued. You were able to fell one of the female giants after poking lots of arrows and javelins into her eyes, but the two male ones, one you seem to have trapped in a fishbowl wall of force cast by Morvan, and the other, being ordered a tactical retreat, has put Gorgonbort over his shoulder and is beginning to run and flee to a more advantageous position to the northwest through the mountainous ravine. We cut in now on Morvan Othronus's turn as you stand upon the ridge to the south of the fishbowl entrapped dreadnought fire giant. You look down and see Barnabas on the level below you and Rengar in the shadows about 40 feet to the west of you. You can see above, probably 80 or so feet away from you on a larger rise, Gorgonbort being carried off by a large giant with a very thick dick. No sword.
One or both.
Looking at less stars.
Yeah. And with that, it brings us to your turn, Morven, with Baron Barnabas on deck. What would you like to do?
Morven is going to maintain his wall of force around one of the giants and then just run and then dash and try to make his way as far north and give chase to the bigger giant.
Okay. So when you make your way down the ladder, there is an earthquake that sucks you. No. You make your way down the ladder using 10 feet of your movement. And as you get to the bottom, having 20 feet left, you make your way towards the wall of force, which gives you 20 feet of movement to get to the edge of that area there. That's 30 feet. And you can see as you move in front of this fishbowl, the dreadnought tracks you and just starts punching the area around where you're standing to try and get out of the cast. Okay. So how are you going to get past that fishbowl then? Because that's blocking the way.
I guess I'll just Misty Step again. Thank you, Misty Step.
All right. So as you Misty Step through, 25 feet to get to the other side. Okay. So you begin to move with your Misty Step. You cast over the fishbowl. And you can see Morven appear in the middle of this small clearing. To the north of you, you can see a 10-foot rise that seems to house the giant carrying Gorgonbord ahead of you between these two peaks that seem to create a pathway northwest.
And that's my turn.
Okay, Baron, you're up.
I clink my heels together, activating my wings of winged boots.
Yes. Yeah, buddy.
You can go fucking anywhere you like on this map there, mate.
And I say to the giant in giant, I challenge you to a duel.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if
Roll a persuasion check. I'll say with disadvantage because it's been given a direct order.
Ooh, 21. Hang on. Oh, it was on 7. It was 6.
It will stop and it will turn around as you fly into the air.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll say the 20 feet of your movement, you fly up into the air, you have 40 feet left. As it was beginning to turn around, it turns to see you. It looks interested, but it looks to see its commander entrapped and then continues on its way.
Pursue it.
Okay, so you can move with your boots an extra 40 feet. You fly and are now cresting with Morven. However, you are 20 feet in the air. You will have to rise another 10 feet to get to the surface of where the giant is.
I have got throwing daggers as well, but I might get... Well, can I make it to it in this turn?
If you dash, you can, but that will be your action to do.
All right, I'll just fly. I'll just dash and fly in front of him just okay. To like sort of cut him off anyway.
All right.
I think it's better. Don't run away with my friend, even though he chose a robot over me.
I didn't choose a robot. I added a robot.
No, I see how it is.
All right, you guys having this lover's tiff at the giant's feet, you get and touch down directly onto the surface of where this giant's standing, and you can see him still attempting to... Right.
Strong hippid man is mine. I mean,
All right. Gorgonbord, you are up. What would you like to do? Currently being grappled. You can use your action to escape.
I'm going to use my action to attack because I have trust in the group that they're going to kill it. Okay. So I'm going to grab my axes and go for two attacks.
All right, roll your two attacks.
So what's that? It would have been like an 11 and a 20.
21.
The 21 hits. The 11 does not. So you hit once onto the armor and you can feel your axe just immediately scrape off the incredible forge walk. Work the second you embed into the neck that you're starting to be next to. Roll your damage, please.
I got a 6.
6 points of damage from one attack. You embed it into his neck and you can see that there is a small trickle of orange magma-like blood that seems to go down into its armor and it doesn't even seem to be fazed by it.
Mm.
All right, it's Dorby's turn. What's Dorby doing?
Okay, Dorby is going to get closer, run up to it, and if I can, Dorby's going to run in front of it as well.
Dorby can indeed run in front of it. You can see this large tusked, long nose, long eared, spindly looking orc chieftain stand in front. You can see him bang on his chest and he says, "Hey, where the fuck do you think you're going?"
And he's going to hit it with, I suppose he has a, what are they called? Like a
hammer? Chieftain's hammer?
Chieftain's hammer. Something. Yeah.
A spiritual. He's now summoned this after the javelin's disappeared.
I'll say so, yes. Okay, so he has a great axe, which you can attack with a plus 6. So roll your d20, add 6.
Oh, man. Oh, Dorby.
Dorby swings the axe through the air and just goes, and as he hits it, you hear it chink off the armor, and it does that thing where it vibrates through the axe, and you can see his whole forearms beginning to shake. He gets a second attack with the great axe.
Okay, that is a 17.
Plus?
No.
17 will miss as well. So he goes to strike down vertically onto the shoe or boot of this giant. and unfortunately doesn't break through the armor either.
I think these giants have a resistance to orc.
Yeah.
That's definitely why.
Rengar, you're up.
Awesome. Good work, guys.
Great job.
Yeah, and two, because he's obviously turned his back to run, yeah?
Yes.
Me being in the darkness under the thing there, I am going to run forward, Mr. DM, to the left of Morven, just above the ridge there. I think I should be able to get with him.
Yep, so you break out of the hiding space you're in.
Yep.
Run past the fishbowl to your right, where the dreadnought is still trying to charge outwards. You pass Morven on the right of you as well as you begin to make your way up the ridge towards where this giant
yes,
is.
Yes, I'm pretty much aiming for that boulder to like use it as a stepping stone to jump into that corner there. You see, as he's running towards that position next to Morven, I'll skid into position, arrow drawn. The coat for the third time today will flare a murky green again with that sort of like energy going into the arrow. His hunter's mark is still flaring on the giant, and I will also even burn another one of my thunder arrows as well.
Yep,
that cool. I got. So that's an extra D6 there.
All right, so you'll get sneak attack because yep, there's allies within 5 feet.
Yep,
as well.
Hunter's mark, sneak attack, necrotic damage, D8 for the bow this time. This is a bit of dice. I got to hit first, boys. Got to hit first, Rob. That's going to be a 26 to hit.
26 will hit.
35, and as he does that with his bow, that's his first action, he will again use the hunter's mark and the bow. Plenty, 29. Oh, sorry. I did that. That's fine.
That will hit.
Yeah, that's good. that's 19 further points of damage for a total of 54. Is that right? Is that wrong? Right?
Yes.
Beautiful. That will end ring.
The two arrows striking just below the neckline. He seems to be quite injured by that, and you watch as he turns around to see the assailant. The dreadnought's turn. Well, he's going to move to the most northern side of the fishbowl that he can and start beating on that side. And then he's going to spend his turn doing that. Actually, he will attempt to hold his action, and the action will be a dash in case he gets out. You then watch as the fire giant carrying Gorgonbort will maintain his hold on him. He'll turn around to the person that just did massive damage to him, and he will throw a rock toward you guys.
That'll be a disadvantage against me with my cloaked displacement.
Well, he'll turn around and see both of you. Morven will be standing there more clearly than Rengar, so he's going to roll to see who he actually will attack, because he didn't see the attacker. He just sees two of you standing there. So, evens or odds?
Evens.
Okay, so you called it, so he misses you. He'll get Rengar. Oh, sorry, he'll get Morven. That will only be a 16. Okay, so the rock comes through. I'll say that you magically stop the rock from coming towards you. You almost stop it in the sky and just move it towards the side, and it stops about, say, 6 inches away from your nose.
Boss movement.
Yeah, the force of this is just immense, and you know that if it hit you, it absolutely would have crushed part of your bone. That's its action. So at this moment, he'll stay there, and you can see that the giant that's in the bubble will start to yell in giant more feverishly, and you hear it say, Barnabas,
retreat, retreat, you fool.
Morven, your turn.
Can the giant holding Gorgonbort roll a wisdom 17 save as I cast Toll of the Dead?
Wisdom?
Wisdom.
It is a 14.
Ooh. 12 product damage as he hears these bells of death right by his ear. Almost as if two butt cheeks are just clapping.
Yes.
And then, because he likes to throw boulders, I'm going to, can I sidestep behind Rengar, beat back out? Mm-hmm. That is my action and movement.
All right. Baron, you're up. As you say that in giant, he looks down towards you, and in giant he says to you,
you're unworthy to speak our tongue.
Yeah, I didn't tell the other guys he's scared in giant. I said, he's scared.
He's heard you speaking giant, though, before.
Yeah.
That brings us to your turn.
What would you know about being worthy?
He just seems disgusted by you at this.
He wouldn't accept my challenge either. Tall they are, harder they fall. That's usually work against me, but... All right, I'll use my weapons to attack.
So roll two attacks with your glaive.
Ooh, 17.
Miss.
And a 23.
That will hit. So the first one he catches, and then you flip your glaive around the other side and just go for the stab, which does penetrate his armor.
It's a 16 points of damage.
Ooh.
And then on the, actually plus four, hang on, D4, cold, freezing him as well. 18 points of damage.
Fantastic. Okay, so yes, you can see the ice begin to crackle around the spear that seems to have embedded through his armor. You can feel the spear getting hot, almost as if the inside of this creature is just warming up the metal of the spear, but then the ice magic that you'd infused with it just cools it back down. You can see the almost cauterize the wound as you eject it. You can see these ice fractals just pull out of it and spiking through the area as it screams in pain.
I'll arm master bonus as well on the reverse. Pull it out. 20 to hit.
20 will hit.
That's a 9 damage.
Nine damage.
Ooh, cold on it. Is it cold on that?
Barney's
as well?
Picking up the damage output.
All right. I'm just going to go for the hand axe again. That is what is going on. Oh, that will be a... I don't think that'll hit anyway. It's a 16.
Miss.
Oh, 15.
Miss.
And I will frenzy.
Okay, so you get angry at the fact that your bare ass is exposed and you can't land a hit on this thing. That being your turn, we'll go to Dorby's turn. You can roll attacks if you wish with the great axe again, two of them,
Yep.
and get a plus six.
There we go. Nat 20. And an 8. So, yep. Not that one. Cool. All right.
In one of his hands, he's holding the axe and he watches. He holds it above his head in two hands and brings it down. And as he hits directly on the toe of this creature, he looks directly into the eyes of the giant and says, I asked you where you're fucking going, mate. So you need to roll a d12, add 4 to it, and a d8. 36. Yucky poo.
That's the most I've ever hit. And it's with
a big hit,
Dorby.
Yeah. you can see this guy's big toe just chop off from the rest of his foot. And Dorby looks down at the toe and just gives like a crazy looking eyeball and a nod. He's like, yeah. Looks up at the guy as well.
I picture him sounding like one of the fellas from Peaky Blinders.
Yes. Yeah. No fucking fighting. You can attack again because he gets two attacks.
Oh, beauty. Oh, no, sorry. That was the other. The first one was an 8 plus 6.
Okay. Yep. All right. So the second attack hits directly.
Could have snuck one in.
Rengar, you're up. Hey, look, you get inspiration
for being a normal person.
Let's bring it back. Inspiration for honesty.
Yeah, I'm just going to like go to the top of that area there. All right. The top of the ramp, I guess. Is that like 30 feet, 20 feet? Up past the trees, sort of getting on the same plane as the boys, I guess, that are assailing him.
Okay, so 30 feet will get you directly onto, as you snake up the pathway, you'll get on level ground with everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you'll still be about 30 feet away from the actual creature, the giant that's holding everybody.
Fine. Even if I can tuck back into that darkened corner there.
That's the maximum of your movement, so you can move one step down or actually even one. You can go one step diagonal as well. So I'll say you've darkened off into the shadow as best that you can, but most of you are still
there. It's more to just get like tucked away in a corner, that's all. Mm-hmm. And I will, loose an arrow there. That's a lot, 32.
That'll hit.
18 points of damage. So we shall roll again for another attack there. Well, that's a lot again. 18 plus 13 is 31.
Hit. So you can see these two arrows just embed, almost double placing on the grouping that you'd put before.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking very rough.
And I will bonus action hide if possible.
I'll say there's enough shadow for you to do that. So I'll say that you just sort of snake your way into the shadow. Dreadnought's turn. He will hold an action. And you can see him from the fishbowl pointing towards Morven and just like acting really aggressively, like when I get the fuck out of here, you're dead kind of thing. The fire giant holding everybody, you watch as he'll draw his meaty sword at this stage, and in giant he'll say,
"You wanna fight? Fine."
And you watch as he starts swiping. So he will attack you, Barnabas, twice at this stage with his greatsword. 27 and even more. That'll be 28. You take 26 points of slashing damage from the greatsword.
I mitigate 12.
Okay, so with stone endurance, 12 of that is reduced, and the second attack is going to... And the next one's 25 points of damage.
It's about a flesh wound.
And he looks bedded down now, attempting to stay and fight. Gorgonbort's still on his shoulder, grappled.
Was there any theme to that type of damage?
Slashing.
Slashing.
Take 15, beat a movement, take a step out, and again, Troll of the spell. Dead.
Okay.
Wisdom 17 DC save.
That's going to be an 18 on the dice.
So he takes half of 11.
All right, so the bell rings out once more. The ass cheeks clap together. Okay, so you're able to stand back where you originally were.
As I wave coyly at the fishbowl dreadnought.
It doesn't go down well. This male individual with the beard that seems to hang down just sort of bangs and bangs and bangs with these two shields. You can see a small crack come onto the wall of force, but then it magically wipes over once again, and you can see it just intensifies with anger.
So he was going to let me go before, because I waved, he really wants to kill me now.
Yeah, he's essentially like hotboxing himself in here. Like the heat is just emanating off of him and the steam's rising inside there, and he's just cracking and cracking at this wall of force.
I'm going for the not going to escape. I feel pretty safe up here, to be honest. So I'm going to
go on full send.
Yeah.
All right. So roll your three attacks this time.
All right. Here
just like
we
hacking
go.
At it.
Cool. Hang on, maybe this one.
Jackson's so animated with his dice rolls, mate. He rolls and goes, oh, yeah.
none of them got above a 17.
That's a lot of excitement for a fucking shit roll. Oh, okay. So you're hacking really hard at this fucking giant's neck, but unfortunately you are not making any headway. As you look down towards Dorbenbort, who is an athlete of a warrior, you're wondering to yourself, how on earth did I slay this guy?
It's like
how
did Dobby become cool?
I'll tell you how. Master gave Dobby a sock.
Yeah, and then Dobby's going for his great axe again, and he has flunked it. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
I don't know what I'm rolling on, but it's not working.
No. 23, and I'll roll the other one now as well. And a 29. So damage is a d4 going. It is an 18. And a 15, and then the bonus attack to hit on the return, 25 to hit.
That'll hit.
It is 11 damage.
How do you want to kill this guy?
Sick of me. How dare he strike me with a sword? Made me bleed my own blood. I did not enjoy that.
In Giant, you can hear him yelling and screaming. He says to you, you are not worthy to speak the tongue. My people will capture you, enslave you like we did the rat. And he watches you just slice across his jugular with the butt end of your glaive.
I relay what he's saying to the group because the other guy's imprisoned. So I think they've imprisoned a lot of the Goliath, what they seem to be have done. From little tidbits I'm getting from these giants.
You can see Dorbenbort move out with his great axe in hand, arms outsprayed, and he says, are you not fucking entertained?
Yes.
And you can see where Gorgonbort may have got it from.
Can I also point out, Jacko, that if you attack recklessly, you get advantage in each attack.
That is true.
I'm just don't.
I'll delete that so you don't sound dumb.
to be fair, it's worth the risk of attacking recklessly six times and still not getting high enough.
you do get they get advantage on you. Okay. So yeah. Just okay.
You don't want that. You don't want that. No one's doing all that damage. So,
hey, Barnabas, I think you should get up above our friendly friend in a cage here and see what kind of boulder you can push off an edge at about 40 feet above him.
Barnabas, did you have a few questions for our prisoner?
Right. What have you done with the Goliaths?
So to the north, we have Morven and Rengar on the ridge where the giant was slayed by Barnabas, looking down towards this wall of forced dreadnought. During this time, I will say that Dorby disappears and he looks towards you before he does and gives you a two-finger salute and says, that was fucking solid. I'll see you next time.
Cheers, Dorbs.
Disappears. So, yes, Baron, you move up into the middle of this clearing with Gorgonbort next to you. You can see the angry giant still standing there, thumping on the walls at you, and you watch as it eventually just... You can see it just like yell one last time, and you two don't even flinch at all as this spittle coats the wall of force. Incredibly armored, heat emanating off of it. What would you like to do or say?
Why are you here, giant?
He says in giant.
I have no need to talk to the likes of you and your kind. Let me out of here.
You can talk and we consider letting you go, or fingers crossed behind my back. or you can not talk and we can kill you regardless, like your weak friends.
He just Hulk yells at the wall. He's just like, and he says,
let me out of here and we'll see how far you get.
He's angry. So he's a fire giant, obviously. Oh. You're considered lower than slave level.
Yep.
He's not going to give you, he'd rather die.
Right. Blind rocket is then.
Yeah. So with that information, you can just see he's stonewalling you at every attempt, and you can see him almost just like shadow boxing with his shields, just and clunking his fists together, just waiting to get out of here.
All right, I'll just turn around to the guys. There's no negotiating with him. We argue, there'll be two idiots arguing, so I'm going to implement.
Giant, he says,
"You will never be safe. I've got your scent. We'll hunt you. We'll find you. My people will kill you before you leave the mountain pass."
I'll just ignore him. I'm going to implement Mission Meteor, let's call it.
Yes.
How long does your, why is your orc stone? How long does it last for?
10 minutes.
Orc stone, 10 minutes, yeah.
Well, can we already in action then drop and take a swing, or yeah, is it just going to continue?
You're going to want that boulder to literally just about hit the glass rooftop you've done and then drop it immediately.
Can you drop a panel off the roof?
I'll say you'd have to drop the entire spell. Yeah, you can't just take away little parts of it.
If I could, then I'll say, why don't we just get hide and pepper him? But it'd be the entire thing. So if you just all want to get in position, I'll give you a countdown to when we...
Well, you'll see the rock coming.
Yeah, you drop it when the fucking rock hits the thing. Yeah.
He can see you conversing about this. He rolls his shoulder and he says, yes, yes, be ready. He can hear everything that you're saying, seeming to understand common. He can also see you, I'll say... Baron, you fly up, begin to push a rock towards the edge. And he can see you just sort of looking up, and he just shakes his head. He's like,
"It won't help you."
Fucking will.
just bear in mind that means that's, I'm assuming, Gorgonbort in front of him by himself, and you're 40 feet away.
All right, so you can do one action or hold one action. What would your action be?
I'm going to hold a javelin.
Okay.
I'm going to cast slow on him.
You watch as Dorby just pops out next to you and say, "Back again."
He's
he'll do the gesture to like give me a javelin.
Like, oh yeah, righto. Sure.
Yeah, and he will like take the same pose as you, ready and waiting to throw one too. That's his held action. Rengo?
Yeah, prepping
arrow knocked.
Yep, looking right for gaps.
Yep, and then Baron.
Well, I'll fly down with my rock.
Well, actually, I will drop it and then. Actually, I don't need to be able to see it. I'm going to be hiding behind a fucking boulder before, and then I'll be looking up to see Barnabas when he pushes to drop, but I'll be out of line of sight if I can of shield dude.
The cast slow, what's the range? 60 feet?
I won't be casting. My action will be to drop it. I'll have to move to cast slow next turn.
He is ready. He clashes his shields together. Baron Barnabas, at this stage, you push the rock over the edge, grab onto the sides, and then just jettison downward towards it. You can see Morven from the distance, Barnabas just supermaning straight into the side of the earth with this massive boulder in front of him. It's at that moment you drop the spell, and as you do, Rengar, you loose an arrow, two javelins are loose, and a rock just crashes on this individual's head. At that point, Baron, I'll say that you land directly in front of him, or are you going to hit it and then swoop upwards, so to say?
Probably, I won't go straight in front because that's probably in line with the javelins and the other things that are coming towards it. So,
So I'll say you slam it and say 16 feet up into the air, and then you arc back upwards so the javelins still have a chance to shot. So you're in that line, but you're 20 feet off the ground.
Yep.
You can roll 8d6 of damage for the rock coming down with force. Roll an attack for the javelins and the arrows. And Morven, you've dropped that was your action to drop. I'll roll for Dorby, just to save the dice rolls. So he will get a 20, not natural. 28 damage?
28 damage.
Okay, so the boulder crashes down. You watch as Dorbenbort's javelin strikes it directly into the neck where the armor parts from the helmet and the chest plate. What's your arrow's attack?
That's a lot. 31.
Yeah, that'll hit.
So that's going to be 16 points of damage.
What's that? 27.
27 will hit.
Amazing.
Hits the most fortified enemy.
Classic organ port.
I got a 6.
Beautiful. All right.
That is plus.
Yeah, two javelins stick into the side of its neck. An arrow hits the same sort of grouping. The rock smashed across the sides of it. You can see it raises its shields in preparation, but most of the damage and rock seems to have gone through and attacked it. Anyway, you can see Baron Barnabas just floating above him in the air, readying his glaive for combat. You can see Gorgonbort and Dorbenbort standing in the distance. It's at that point we'll begin our initiatives with Rengar first off the rank. Off you go.
Dope. So he is going to... Is anyone within combat range of him?
I will say no, because Barnabas is within 10 feet of him, which is his attack range, but according to...
It's got
to
be within
sneak
5
attack
feet,
has to be within attack. 5.
Yeah, he's not surprised, so I don't get that. But what I do get is advantage because he hasn't taken a turn yet on the attack. So what I will do, I'm going to get 3 attacks here because I'll get my Dread Ambusher attack and my 2 actions. Hunter's Mark, Bow, Dread Ambusher for the first one. And no sneak attack. So the first one hit. That's 23 points of damage for the first one. The second one, still advantage because he hasn't taken a turn. That's a lot. Double 18s for a total of 31. Same damage again. So 9 plus 13 is 22 to hit.
Will that 22 hit? Just hits.
Just hits, all right. He will roll again, and that's 17 points of damage.
Okay. Some hefty hits. So after all your attacks, what do you want to do before?
Bonus action hide.
So I'll say you can use some of your movement to duck behind the rock and hide. Roll your bonus action for that as well. And these 3 arrows just hit into the side of him as well, as he's starting to bed down and almost like fortify himself, yeah, like getting himself sort of ready. In
25 stealth.
So he knows where the arrows came from, but he does not know where you are at this point. It's at that point, it's Dorben Bort's turn, followed by Baron. What's Dorby doing?
Cool. He's going to run up. He's got a cool axe.
Okay, so he's going to run directly forward.
Mm-hmm.
Try to smash this guy with his axe, which apparates in his hand. And as he comes in, I'll say he turns, does a 360, and on the backward strike of it, he's going to try and get through the armor.
Maybe one of them. All right. That is was it plus 6? So 22?
22 hits, just.
Beauty. The other one does not hit.
Mm-hmm. So roll your damage for the axe.
Which was a 12 and an 8. 15.
15 damage. Okay, so you hear this massive and resounding boom as it hits this shield, but the vibrations seem to have damaged this individual behind the shields regardless. With his 2 attacks and his charge done, that brings us to Baron's turn. You're flying 20 feet above his base, within 10 feet of his person at this point, so he's still in attack range of you.
Yeah, all right, I'll attack from here then.
Yep.
Ah, nat 20.
Oh, yes!
Okay, so roll your damage for the first attack.
21 damage.
With your d4 as well?
Oh, sorry, with a good idea. Inspiration.
Thanks.
Already have.
24.
All right, so 24 points of damage.
And then, followed up by a nat 1.
Oh, beautiful. That's what I like to see.
It giveth, taketh away.
And then I'll use my bonus attack.
Yep. So bonus action will strike with the butt of the weapon.
Which is only a 16. Hang on, how's that right? Yep.
16 will miss. So the first one attacks with great ferocity. The second 2 miss. Do you want to describe your crit for us?
I got really keen and just put all my effort to the first swing, and it just cleaved through a little bit of his shoulder armor, draw blood, and then the next 2 just came off the shield. They were just no good.
Absolute whiffs. All right. So that brings us to his turn. All right. He is going to begin digging his heels into the ground. You see him take a 3-point position where one of his hands and shields is in the dirt and the rest of his 2 feet are behind him in a runner's stance, and you watch as he immediately shoots up and starts to charge forward. He's going to run in a 30-foot line, and as he does so, he's going to collect Dorbenbort and Gorgonbort in his line. However, Barnabas, you will miss his line. In this one as well, it says it can move through the space of any creature, smaller or huge, so it doesn't invoke opportunity attacks. And the first time it enters a creature's space during that move, you must make a strength saving throw or take some bludgeoning and fire damage.
So 17.
Okay. And 1 for Dorby.
And 1 for Dorby. He's getting me every time. The 26.
Okay, so Dorby succeeds and you fail. So he rushes straight through Dorbenbort, and you can see him just hold strong, and he's just like, yeah, mate, not going nowhere. And as he busts through him, he will in fact do... Okay, so he does 53 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
The Dorbenbort who passed the...
The Dorbs.
No, he does half damage to Dorbs.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Thank fuck for that.
And he does half damage to Dorbenbort, and he's not pushed 30 feet.
But full damage to Gorgonbort.
Full damage, 53 points to Gorgonbort, and yep, you are pushed 30 feet backwards, which will land the Dreadnought. As he runs in that diagonal line, he pushes you, catches you off guard, and pushes you directly into the rocky surface, so you cannot physically move back 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So he pins you against the wall currently. That will be his turn. You watch as he bangs his shields together and he says, come, come and taste the iron. And that will then be Morvan's turn.
I should have put my pants on. That hurt.
Can he make a wisdom 17 save for slow?
That is 12 plus something. I don't think it's going to be. Don't think it's going to hit. No, it won't.
So he has a... Can I take one action or a bonus action? One or the other.
Oh, so he's slowed?
He is slowed. Sorry, slowed. Minus 2 to AC and dex saves. And yeah, can I do...
Either a bonus
A attack. One. Either a attack action or a bonus action.
Yep.
I can do one.
It doesn't say anything about if he has... Because one of his actions is a multi-attack.
Yeah, so regardless of the creature's abilities or magic items, it can't make more than one melee or ranged attack in its turn.
Yep.
But fantastic. On top of that, it can't take reactions and can only do either a bonus action or a action.
Okay. Do you don't need to be able to see him to do that, do you?
I would have popped out.
No more, popped out, popped back in. Okay. All right, sweet. So he sees that. He sees you cast and you drop back down, so he loses sight of you. That being your turn, do you have a bonus action you'd like to use?
Nope, so I would have come to the edge, looked down, cast it, then stepped back from the ledge behind my little rock, and that'd be my turn.
Fantastic. All right, Gorgonbolt busted and bruised, pinned up against the wall. What would you like to do?
He's fairly close. How tall is that wall?
That's 10 feet tall.
10 feet tall.
And keep in mind, if you leave his side, because he's got a 10-foot reach, you will be attacked with opportunity attack.
No, there's no reaction.
Ah, oh, true. He's got no reactions. Yeah, good save.
Ducked in.
And whatever his AC is, minus 2.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. I will go for, yes, just straight up. In 10 feet, what's the range of the chieftains? It is 5 feet. So I move forward a little bit off the wall. I get closer.
Yeah, you closer. Peel yourself off of the imprint of Gorgonbolt in the rock wall. Yeah. And as you remove your shoulders, you drop your hammer to, like you're holding it at the head of the hammer and you drop it to the end and you just sort of drag it forward as you begin to swing it.
Absolutely. All right. Come on, baby. Oh, yes.
Yes. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a 6.
So double the die damage for crit.
So double the die. So, yeah, so 2. Plus
5. Oh, man. That's the worst crit I've ever heard.
Jackson, you need to roll. You need to describe that roller coaster of a roll for us. What happened there, man?
Like just how I threw it because it
was. No. I mean, what did Gorgonbolt do?
Look, he pulled himself out. Like you said, he dropped the hammer and he actually just didn't. He literally dropped the hammer. There was no attempt. Oh, I suppose there was. There you go. The hammer dropped. It hit the ground and it actually fell. So like if the handle of the hammer was standing up, it kind of knocked over and just like nicked his toe. So the actual head of the hammer did not hit him. That was a natural one.
Okay, so that's a miss.
It was a miss, yeah.
You hit the ground right next to his foot in this moment. I'll say you have a bonus action to go, which you can use to frenzy. Did you already rage?
Yeah, I did rage. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's so right. You raged.
Yep,
that's it. A bonus action.
I will just, doesn't matter. I'll stay where I am.
Fantastic. Rengar. You can see Gorgonbolt getting fucked up.
I couldn't see. Luckily for Gorgs, Rengar couldn't see this because he was tucked away. He did, however, hear a massive bang.
Yeah. Downstairs. So to your surprise, you jump onto the rock after seeing everybody absolutely fine, you having the jump on. You see the dreadnought creature 30 feet from its current position and Gorgonbolt just like Looney Tunes spinning around with flying birds around his head.
And he'll say, all right, shake it off, whip his hair back. It's a bit longer now that he's a bit older and he's going to just peer down that arrow sight and rip one out. 26 to hit. 22 points of damage.
Perfect.
Well, he's gonna fucking hit him again. So that will be.
We need another 70 hit from you.
Oh, it's a bit of time I missed. I think that is a. Well, does an 18 hit?
18 just misses with the slow.
Ooh. And I shall bonus action hide.
Okay.
Which will be plenty. 27. No, 26.
All right. Dorbin bought.
Okay. Wait. Yep, he's just going with his great axe.
All right, he'll slow walk backwards.
Yeah, where is he?
So he'll turn around from being charged. He'll pick up his great axe. He'll slow walk whilst dragging the blade across the stone. And you can see him just like laughing. Oh, no. I wasn't a smart move, mate. Roll your attack. So Dorbenbort misses both strikes. You can see him just smashing on the back of this guy. His armor too strong to be penetrated.
I'm going to put it to, it's not their terrain. I'm used to like deserts and open fields.
Yep. The air just isn't right. The temperature drop is just not for you. Okay. So Baron, you're up.
All right. Bring him behind and use my attack from the rear.
Okay. So I'll say you get within 10 feet because that is your reach. Still flying 20 feet above the air.
What does 20 do again when you get roll that naturally?
I think it crits.
Was that right? So strange. Hopefully I don't roll a one now.
Roll your damage, Baron, with your natural 20.
You cheeky bugger.
Ooh, it's good. 24 damage. Oh, what? That's exactly what I rolled last time.
That is legitimately
20 and then a one.
That's shit.
I'll hit him with the butt of the weapon as well.
Butt of the weapon.
Does 28 hit?
28 will hit.
14 damage.
Ooh. Ooh.
Dude, Barney is dealing damage today.
It's almost like he has a godly weapon.
Yeah.
His legs above you all now. No.
Holy moly.
You're doing just as, like, yeah, a lot of damage too, but you're doing it across three turns.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like it's a lot in the moment. All right, so he will get one attack thanks to Morvin's bullshit.
Do you want to roll on my tray?
You're welcome.
Do you want to roll on my tray?
No, mate, I'm last time he did, he got on that 20. So. Yeah.
Are you sure?
So I will get a 20.
Yeah, that will hit.
Okay. Yep. So with the 20, so you will take 27 points of bludgeoning damage, which is halved because it's bludgeoning.
27 halved to 13 or halved to 14?
Halved to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll take 6 points of damage piercing, halved yep. to 3.
Yep.
And then you'll take 6 points of fire damage, not halved.
6 points?
Mm.
Not halved.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So you will...
Oh, wait, it's all good. I am dropped by 1 point.
Yep.
But I've got Angelus Endurance.
Okay, so you take a bunch of bludgeoning damage from the shield. The spikes come from the iron-like make of the shield that just embed into you as well. But the fire just cauterizes the whole thing, swelling you up, and you immediately hit the floor. And as you do, you just hear Dorbenbort.
I lift my head like the Undertaker. I'm back, baby!
So as you do that, that is his turn because he can't do anything else. Morvin.
I'm going to poke out, look down, 17 DC, wisdom save as a cast, Toll of the Dead.
Natural one.
Oof. He fails to...
He's too busy laughing over Gorgonbort's body. He's just like, clashes his shields over his body.
14 necrotic.
All right. Gorgonbort the squash. It's your turn.
the buckled. That's a plus. That is a plus 8, and we got 25.
Yay!
All right, roll your damage.
That is what's that? 13.
13 points of damage. Did you add your rage damage? With plus
no.
Two?
So there you go. Plus 2 again. 15.
So you see, Gorgonbort just groggily move towards this individual, hammer still by his side, and he swings it as hard as he can. And as he does, he's just sort of heavily breathing.
Oh, yes.
Nat 20.
Far out.
My goodness.
Come on.
Come on, gracious. Double something good.
Yeah.
That's a 6.
Yeah.
12. What's that? Plus 5. 17. Plus 2. 19. Plus,
okay.
So he basically grabs Chieftain's Fury and he's just at this stage just spinning it in circles to get momentum and just drawing closer as if like similar to when Bart and Lisa like just... If you get in the way, it's your fault.
Literally either swinging it around like Thor or clotheslining it yourself like Wolfgar.
Yep.
All right, so you smash him twice across the armor and you guys just hear this dinging sound ringing through the cavern. Is that the end of your turn? Oh, wait, you're not even raging anymore because you dropped. You did.
Oh, right.
You came back to one.
Well, there you go. I should probably
your
rage.
Rage drops. Yep, so this will be your third rage.
Oh, yeah.
That you use.
Yeah, okay.
I think you get 3, don't you?
Yeah, but... Don't you? I think it affects you.
You get an exhaustion point after you drop from frenzy. I don't think that you do get an exhaustion. I think you cheated it, man, because if you come out of your rage that's frenzied, you get an exhaustion point.
Yeah.
But if you drop to 0 and then come back...
Technically, you're dead.
Technically, you're dead, and then you come back, so you don't have that effect.
Yeah, because...
Not exhausting coming back from death at all.
I'll
take it.
By the technicality of the rule, you don't have exhaustion.
Yeah. All right. So bonus, I will rage, and I will skedaddle.
Okay. So skedaddling with your movement, you can get 20 feet to the left of you. You run to the edge of the rise and then start to make your way 10 feet is your movement?
I've actually got 40 feet movement now.
Okay, so you make it additional 20 feet up, and you get to the point where the giant had previously been taking you away, and you just sort of get to the side of his limp, dead body. Rengar, you see this dreadnought turn to face Dorbenbort and Baron. It leaves a massive opening towards the back where you can see.
So I kind of want to make this look a little cheeky so that I turn to Morven behind the bottom. Could we let him have one and make him believe?
Yeah, if we can.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got to get that later.
So I'll flavor this in a way that as Gorgs has gone to strike this thing, right, and he hits that second hit, Rengar's going to quick fire two shots to like land pretty much where the exposed part was where he can't see it and give them a bit extra so the arrows disappear into the body. And as Gorgs runs away and then turns back, hopefully he sees this thing die.
if he misses.
Roll your attack.
I don't think I'll miss, but attack. We'll see. Inspo. I missed one.
So as you have this conversation, you just look to the side of the boulder, let an arrow go, it hits into the dirt.
That next one.
Do I hear
30.
The arrow hitting
so the second
the dirt.
Attack's 30.
30 will hit.
Yep.
Roll a perception check. Yes. Gorgonbort.
Come on, don't give me a high roll now. got a nat 20, so I would choose to not hear it.
Damage is going to be
24
points of damage.
Okay, that will kill it. So you can see the first arrow skitter across the ground. And Gorgonbort, you see that arrow skitter across the ground. You don't hear or see the second arrow get struck. But Rengar, you hit it directly under the shoulder pauldron and the fletching disappears under that piece of armor. Gorgonbort, you scramble to the top, turn around, and you're sitting eye level with this dreadnought creature. And you watch as its eyes just seem to roll into the back of its head. And he points to you and he says, "I thought I killed you." And he just falls straight into the mountain that you're sort of standing on and smashes into that area. He turns around and his shields clatter to the floor. Baron, you're the only one that could understand what he said as he fell. And you just hear this growling as the combat comes to a close. Rengar, you jump behind the rock, seemingly...
like I did nothing.
Yeah.
And I'll pretend to like go out and be like, "Okay. Oh, whoa. I see I'm not needed here anymore."
I see it drop. And I very confidently, leaving my pants behind, obviously, continue to walk in the direction that we needed to go. I'm like, "All right, boys, let's go."
Back her up, boys.
You're welcome.
You can see the hammer shift across to his shoulder as he's walking with pride.
Exactly.
His pants slung over his other shoulder as his perfectly smooth green ass walks northwest into the sunlight. You watch as Morven and Rengar, you share a glance towards each other. Dorbenbort will appear next to Gorgonbort as they move north.
He puts his arm around me as we walk.
Yep. And Baron, I'll say that you land right next to Rengar. And I will say that you do see the arrow that went through as well. As the three of you land next to each other behind Gorgonbort, what would you like to do or say?
I'll look immediately to the giant's bodies and be like, "Some really fancy looking armor there and some really nice weaponry. I wouldn't mind investigating some of that. What do you say, Barnabas? Looks your size."
I don't think it's my size.
It's definitely way too big. Like the armor you could literally fit inside and take shelter from the rain.
Yeah, but can we carve off some patches of good fucking shit?
He just said it was iron.
Oh, is it?
It is extremely well tempered and well made and forged. I would probably say that you can take some raw pieces from it if you want to.
Pretty sure someone can have a giant tail.
Yeah, I want to see if they've got anything like parchment or if there's any notation. Because like essentially we know they're scouting, but maybe there's a directive that we don't know about and it's not just giants. Because Rengar's still thinking about the whole Dalnak revitalizing all these things, and fire giants seem a bit OP for this fucking area. Like, I don't think he's putting two and two together. Why are they in a cold place? I think he's thinking, like, what's the go here?
No, we are in the mountains and
fire
giants like to be near, well, in mountains for their forges or volcanoes or something.
I don't know. I guess he's just not really putting together the frost giant sort of mountains with fire giants. It doesn't fit for him, yeah.
So as you make your way down towards these bodies, I'll say you spend about 5 or so minutes just investigating them with your two allies. I'll say you are able to get a couple of ingots off of their armor, just made of just iron. I'll say you can get 3. off of them. The weaponry looks too large for you to wield. Gorgonbort seems to have gone northwest, resting in a mountain pass. But the three of you here, looking at these fire giants, you can see the orange tattoos or scars across their person seem to have faded. And as you look at it, it almost looks like cooled magma that sit within its skin. They're definitely a rare sight to see in this particular zone, this climate. You do take that to mean that they're probably existing somewhere under the mountain where it's a lot warmer. More than you knowing a lot about these individuals, having now seen them up close, recall that they definitely are good at crafting. They're also very militaristic. It is not uncommon for them to take lower beings as serfs or slaves for them to fire their bellows. It does seem like this is a new emergence, so to speak, as Barnabas has told you that they weren't around when he was part of his herd. So something may have happened deep below to cause them to come up into the surface or to awaken. I'll get you to roll an Arcana check, Morvan, as well.
20.
You know that a lot of arcane magic across the plane of Kalimvor is brought into various locations through something called the Weave. It's an underground network of arcane channels that seem to move in towards one another. You know that there has been some outlandish occurrences that have happened lately that have caused those ley lines to either shift or move or erupt in different spikes where the arcana seems to have changed the landscape. That may have been what has occurred below the surfaces of this mountain. Whether there is one below this mountain, you're not too sure. But a shift in the arcane ley lines may not exclude awakening creatures like this from deep below.
Yep. I'll relay that. Am I thinking that these arcane shifts are from Delnak and his reemergence, or it's just coincidental? Or?
You, having been around this area for quite a while, probably note it to be a shift that had become more and more prevalent as time has gone on, whether it be as a result of the Territories War or people tampering with more technologies to try and get ahead in the Territories War, or Delnak the Outcast, or magical bombs, eruptions, things that cause these ley lines, a natural way of the earth to shift. They've just been increasing as time has gone on. So from the 4 years prior that you had spent before your time in the Tome, it was very rare to see these occurrences, but since you have popped out, you have heard more and more weird stuff happening around as a result of this arcane shift. It's almost like arcane magic is moving toward a more chaotic norm, so to speak, than what it was before. And it may be a result of Delnak, or it could be a combining of lots of different magical things and non-magical things and technological advances that have been happening in the continent over the years. So the balance is shifting.
Yep. I relay that to the glassy-eyed Gorgonbort and Barnabas.
He really takes that in.
As he takes the 10 minutes to explain that, Dorbenbort will shift back into your cozy, cozy brain.
Mm. Well, gentlemen, I feel like our job is done. I highly doubt this is going to go unnoticed for too long, so I suggest we skedaddle.
They are retreating to the north, where we're headed.
Mm, yes, there are multiple paths through the mountain. You know that this one heads in a northwesterly direction. You have to veer off more towards the west to go down toward Delambir and the coast. You're not sure where they would go at that crossroad.
Not trying to run towards where they were retreating towards, where may include aid for them and not aid for us.
Mm. I'll say as you begin making your way across that northerly path, Rengar, roll a survival check for me.
Yeah.
And you can actually, one of you can do so with advantage because
I might let Barnabas do it again, mm-hmm. because I think Rengar's going to be focused on casting. He can cast Pass Without Trace again, just to increase that level of
so
ability
we're moving
to move a bit
stealthily.
Easier. Yeah, yep.
And we did loot the corpses, was ingots. Yeah,
that's a 14 for a survival check with advantage.
All right, so as you go, you begin to decline in your altitude in the mountain. You know that more of the ground seems to move downward than upward at this stage. And you can see various pathways shooting off this main one that you seem to be traveling down. And it does come to a bit of spelunking territory, you might say, where you have to actually traverse down some rocky outcroppings. But you do see less and less instances of giant footprints, giant weaponry, even like food that giants may have eaten or slew to subsist on while they're sort of going through their scouting missions, there's less and less evidence as you travel further and further west. So your indication is that they may reside further to the north than to the west of the in these mountain ranges. That being said, as you begin to make your way down into a particular valley, you begin to wheel around a large rocky mountainous outcropping. And as you do, you can see one of the places that you had previously resided as part of your herd. And you do actually see what looks like month-old corpses, tents that seem to be strewn around in this area as well that seem to be made of hide. You can see that there's probably about three or four bodies that just seem to be left. Goliath kin, by the look of them. And you can see that they look like simple folk, not warriors at all. One of them still holding onto what looks like a makeshift club, for example. And you can see as you get close to them, all four of you, they have massive slash wounds across them, and one of them seems to be just completely crushed. So they've either encountered the individuals you did or some of the like, some scouting parties that are exactly the same in makeup, it seems. What would you like to do as you get to this area?
I'll proc detect magic as we approach too, just to see if there was...
As the tech magic pings, you see a similar symbol, but it says pit 8, like pit and then the number 8, as if this is part of the track that they go through to collect members of the herd. You can see that the three that were left, Baron, as you kneel next to them, you don't recognize them straight away, but you know that they are part of the herd that you belonged to at one point because the tattoo markings across their shoulders seem similar.
These guys are kin. I do not know them by name, but from the same tribe as I was, so not good to see. Giant handiwork, obviously.
Mm. Well,
the giants shall pay.
Well, the three who just died will give you some measure of revenge. There's more to be had.
Much more.
It takes you half of the day to travel further west, and as you do, you don't see any more instances of giant folk roaming around. The elevation gets lower and lower until finally you exit from any sort of rocky outcropping and you start to hear the sound of the ocean. As you make your way through this wooded area, you do get to the coastal region where you can see across the bay that you know more than to be the Bay of Fathoms. Looking at this area, you know you need to venture in a northerly fashion to get to Delambeer, but where Karen is in Delambeer is mystery to you. I'll say it this time as well. It is probably mid-afternoon, like heading into the...
Is there any...
small townships or anything?
This seems to be a wooded area with a coastal sort of beach.
Mm.
You can see off in the distance some protrusions in the ocean that look like shipwrecks, but there's just some slow waves lapping along the area here. You're currently in like a wooded area that seems to be quite grassy. Trees seem to be smattered around you. Some rocks protruding through seems very natural. Nothing man-made at this point.
Maybe another hut.
Yeah. Long rest. I can bring up the hut again. And before we take our breather, rest, I can do another sending to Karon and ask for Karon.
Karen.
Just say Karen, yeah.
Karen. And Karen's.
Karen with the sideways fringe.
I can do a sending to Karen and ask for some more details of exactly where he is.
Mm-hmm.
What are your... I've been pondering as well that Delnak managed to summon the tome from... Wistonia. Wistonia.
It's canon that he gets shit wrong. Does so say you corrected him in game.
From Wistonia.
Yeah.
So under the power of whatever defensive magics that were there. So I'm wondering if Message in the Stars is aware of Delnak's powers, because I don't think a sandy sea is going to be much of a issue for Delnak to summon. So I'm tempted to do a sending to him and just say, to give him a heads up that he... Delnak has some summoning powers. It may not be as safe
as he thought.
As when he thought, he
told you to get rid of it.
Yeah, like if he's assuming that Delnak won't be fighting off a few purple worms, then he may not even have to. He can just summon it from across.
You're also assuming that Message in the Stars is a good person. We don't particularly know his alignment, and he spoke pretty highly of Delnak, his abilities when he was at the Institute as well. So, not that he spoke highly of Delnak, but his abilities as a wizard and all that.
He also wanted to kill me and Ren just for knowing Delnak as well.
Having a link to it, so.
Yeah, he was a wise tabaxi. What are your thoughts? I got two sending spells. Well, actually, I think I can upcast and go more.
Send away.
So I will, once I'm assuming we find a place to hunker down.
Yeah, I'll say this conversation. Yeah, this conversation happens as you nestle yourselves into a grove of trees. You can see the dome begin to erupt, and you guys have started to lay up bedrolls and sit pretty comfy in this cozy area. So
I sit down and send my consciousness out to Karen and say, we are near Dalamvir. Where are you actually located?
A moment goes by. You do hear a voice come back, familiar to you, the voice of Karen, that says, travel north. You'll see a large rundown temple dedicated to Sorshin. The elves of Dalamvir are tribal yet friendly, do not attack, and they will not either. I reside just to the north of their village, at a fork in the river. Be safe.
What's everyone's thoughts on messaging method?
If it appeases you, Morven, you're more than welcome to make contact with him. Maybe broach. Don't broach the assassination attempt and
I ain't got 25 words. There's many words I want to say to him, but I ain't got 25.
Delnak has ability to summon objects. Or may not be safe with.
I'll take that wise piece of advice and say that to a message. Doing my last sending.
All right. A moment does pass to the point where you think the spell has faded, but you do get a message back that says,
Delnak could retrieve that tome due to a pearl of possibility given to him. They will be safe. I watch it. Do not contact me again.
I would rather message old mate as much as I don't like him and give him a heads up. I don't like him, but he does. We do have a common enemy. So.
Above the table, Delnak could get the tome because the Crown Killers gave him the pearl that came from the place where Drew was born, basically. So that puzzle room that was at the end of season one, Delnak got given the pearl from the Crown Killers, so he used that to get a wish, and he got the Ribbon Tome back. And that's why it was revealed that some powerful celestial magic occurred in order to get that, because those defenses at the Wasonia are pretty impenetrable, except for... A celestial wish, which he was able to use to get it back. But you also kind of note that if he could wish for anything, he probably could have wished for something better than that. But you feel like the limit of that pearl limited what he was able
to
do.
Wanted to do.
Yeah. So as you bed down, having this revealed to you, Gorgonbort patching his wounds as best that he can, you hear a voice inside your head, Gorgonbort, that says, you did well today, mate. You did well.
Yeah, and I speak out loud. Yes, I did. Confident. Shouldn't be.
You look towards your allies thinking that they'll see it as weird, but it's normal now. And as you bed down for the evening, you will take a rest.
Like Eddie talking to Venom.
Rengar will silently step up and exit the tent, the hut, and he'll go to sort of the edge of the woods and stare out where they just came from. He'll hold both pieces of the blade in his hand. He'll look to the sky, look to the stars, and he'll say, well, little brother, I guess that learning to help my friends and put them a little bit more ahead of myself might be something I need to do a bit more often. Look to the sky and say thank you for your guidance, and hopefully we can make these two whole again. And they'll wrap them back up again.
As you do, roll a perception check.
Natural 19, 25.
As you look out into the woods around you, you almost miss it as you turn back towards your dome, but it does seem like the magical aura of Morven's spell has attracted some onlookers. As you see them peel away from the tree and almost poke their head up out of the rivers, you can see what looks like six or so of these coastal elven-looking individuals. You can see they've got a tinge of blue to their skin, dark hair that seems to be dreaded or ponytailed or fitted with shells, and you can see them just sort of peel their way off of the natural environment, looking at you with this yellow moonlit eyes. And as they see you and you look towards them, they peel themselves back into the native foliage and seem to let you return. They're out there and they seem to be watching.
Rengar will nod his head, his eyes glaze over in their direction and shine a little brighter, the flecks glowing, and bow his head and return to the hut.
That's it for this week's episode of D&D Valiant Odyssey. This week's cast was Rob as Rengar, Trent as Baron Barnabas, Jacko as Gorgonbort, Brett, Morven, with me, Aaron, as your Dungeon Master. Remember, if you love D&D, Valiant Odyssey, and Dungeons & Dragons, the best thing you can do for us is go and tell a friend about our podcast. That's right, just one friend. Go and tell them about D&D, Valiant Odyssey, and where they can find us. All our links are in the show notes below. Heck, go and tag them in one of our social media posts, and we'll reach out to them for you. Actions like that really help small podcasters like us to get our stories out there, share the love of Dungeons & Dragons. With that being said, make sure you check out all our socials, especially our Instagram at D&D Valiant Odyssey. We're on there pretty regularly, and you can connect with myself, the Dungeon Master, and the cast of our amazing show. Stay tuned to the notes after each episode for all of our updates, guys. There's some big things in the pipeline, and we want you to stay updated. That's it from me, and as always, be valiant.